This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
But first, we're going to talk to Australian Sex Party leader Fiona Patten, because about the only thing that shoved Oprah off the top of the news this week and kept her off there, mercifully, I think, was WikiLeaks and its founder, Julian Assange.
It's amazing there wasn't an Oprah WikiLeaks.
Well, you know? I'm waiting. We really need to see something on that, I think. Love to see the cables between Oprah and the tourism department. Who knows what might come out next. Now, I've been trying to get people to comment about the WikiLeaks thing and talk about it, and the obvious place I went to first off was people like Amnesty International, and I basically got palmed off about, you know, we cannot comment on this and we cannot comment on that, and nobody's been charged with anything yet, or nothing's been proved, and a lot of bureaucratic flim-flam.
Yeah, I mean, which is surprising, because it is on the front page of every paper, and... You know, and it is the conversation at every tram stop.
Well, it's kind of astonishing, isn't it, that it's completely taken over the news. Mm. Every front page for days and days and days has been another WikiLeaks.
Yes.
That's come out. I have to say, an awful lot of them have confirmed our prejudices.
I guess that's probably the... It's more that it's embarrassing, really, isn't it?
Well, let's not forget that this started with Bradley Manning wanting to expose what he saw and what probably were, but we don't know at this point for sure, so better be careful there, what were apparently American war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah.
And that was his initial motivation. Now, why he went on from there to allegedly, and again, we don't know whether it was him or whether there have been other people involved, because WikiLeaks haven't told us who their sources are. Why then all these cables came out, which, as you say, are embarrassing, we don't know at this point. Now, a lot of people are saying this is going to be a bad thing in the long run, because this is going to make governments even more paranoid about their communications and even more secretive.
I don't know whether I'm just constantly the, you know, forever the optimist, but I sort of think that we've actually really have come to a crossroads, and governments need to understand that their notions of secrecy no longer work, and that we are in an information revolution, and the population expects to receive information and expects to get this information, and governments can no longer sort of hide under Freedom of Information Acts or Freedom from Information Acts, as it's generally known, and that they need to start thinking about how they do deal with the new, you know, not the new paradigm, but the
it's
new,
an overworked phrase.
Yes, that's right. The new world order of information and people's feeling of right to information.
Okay. Now, do you think that having all this information that we have now had from the diplomatic cables and that is a good thing or a bad thing?
I think predominantly it's, you know, look, some of it I do think, you know, I would like to think that you and I could have a frank conversation that didn't necessarily get heard by the world. However, you know, we're in the 21st century, and as, you know, someone said, you know, I think it was, what is it, Steve Jobs said, privacy, you haven't got it, get over it. And we have to accept that we're living in a very different world now. And I think, as we say, when the main objective was actually to expose some very serious war crimes, and yes, a whole bunch of other stuff, maybe more frothy material came out, overall it was a good thing.
The media is tending to make a bit of a hero out of Julian Assange in the midst of all this. Don't you think that's just a tad hypocritical in some respects? Because he's only doing what any other media outlet does, isn't he?
That's right. Oh, well, look, I suppose journalists, you know, would... So if it was Laurie Oakes had got this information, I guess he'd be up for a walkie for exposing this information and bringing it to light.
Because that's the only way journalists get anything out, isn't it? Somebody leaks to them.
That's right. That's right. And this is really... WikiLeaks is a media organisation, and people need to be quite aware of that. And I think because it's on the internet, somehow it's seen as different to whether it was printed, you know, whether it was on the 9 a.m. Today show or it was on, you know, it was on the front page of The Australian.
And so the media don't seem to know, actually, do they, whether to make a hero or a villain out of Julian Assange?
Yes. I mean, look, he's obviously...
he goes from one to the other day by day.
And I think, you know, of course, because, you know, there are these charges, he's facing these charges as well. So that's what also blurs the lines. There's this notion that he's in jail. But he's not in jail because of WikiLeaks.
No. Well,
I don't have that, you know, really strong conspiracy brain that other people have. So I'm kind of, yeah.
Yeah, well, also playing into this, we have what some newspapers have characterised as a rape charge, and other newspapers have kind of tended to downplay and dismiss as a peculiarity of Swedish law.
I've been thinking out loud about this, really. You know, I'm not a legal expert and certainly not on international law, but I would have thought one of the easiest ways to deal with this would be for Julian to go and face the court and face the charges. And certainly where he's sitting today, I suspect he would get a very fair trial, and it would be extremely well reported.
Yeah, but he's afraid of getting extradited over to the US, and we don't know what pressure is being applied where.
Again, I would be kind of surprised if Sweden had softer extradition laws than the UK, when you think the UK and the US have been political and military allies for, you know, a hundred years at least.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the likely impact of all this. Governments now have a choice, don't they? They have a choice either to try and somehow choke this all off and try and make sure it doesn't happen in future by some way, or, as you say, they can accept the situation and realise that it's not just one leak they've got to plug, because now that it's happened once... You know, you plug this hole, another one is going to spring up. So how can governments operate if they don't have any truly secret communications?
I certainly think that the governments do need to be able to communicate confidentially. And there are positions for that. But I think also maybe we need to flip round, you know, using Australia as an example, our freedom of information, and say, look, all government information is free unless the government says, no, there is national security reasons to keep this.
And to have that to testable in the court, perhaps.
That's right. But you would start with the notion, and I think the Freedom of Information Act actually started at that notion, but now, anyone who has dealt with freedom of information knows
that it's anything but.
And yes. I think we do need to flick that around and just go, look, this information should be public unless they can prove that it shouldn't be.
So basically, if the government wants to keep anything secret, they should really need to apply to a court for permission keep something secret.
I think it is just turning it around that way, to say that all information should be open to the taxpayers and to the people who the governments are working for.
Yeah, and that also puts the onus for paying the lawyers' fees on the government, and they're more likely to be able to afford it than you or I.
Yes, exactly. And I think this would, you know, and certainly we need to realise that we are in a technical an information revolution now. We all are starting to believe that we should have the true story and expect to have a lot more information probably than we did 10 years ago.
Slightly more troubling, I think, in some respects. Before we move off on the politics, I'll just quote one thing. I think it was an Egyptian diplomat said to Kevin Rudd something along the lines of... Kevin Rudd said, was commiserating with him and saying, oh, you know, I see some of your confidential conversations got leaked on WikiLeaks the other day. I know how it feels. And the guy came back to Kevin Rudd and said, yes, but what I said in private was the same as what I'd said in public. if this encourages our politicians to be a bit more honest in public, I think it can only do them good in the long run.
I have to say, I feel like Kevin Rudd's been loving this. WikiLeaks. You know, it's again, I was just, we're just talking earlier. I mean, it's almost like, you know, when he got caught at the strip club, you know, it's made him seem a lot more real.
Yes.
And, you know, and
made him look a lot more interesting than Julia again.
Well, that's right. You know, and look, Kevin has really struggled with the old look interesting, you know.
Yeah, fascinating.
So it has been interesting. But I do think that, you know, governments do have to realise that.
And politicians generally, you know, come on, we're not stupid. We know, we have a pretty fair idea when you're trying to pull the wool over our eyes. Stop doing it.
That's right.
And be more honest about your motivations. That's right. Be more honest about, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah,
to other
governments. I mean, we even saw that with the NBN.
Yeah.
Where the government managed to filter a 5,000-page report into 50 pages, you know, and say, right, well, that's all the information you really need.
Yes, and of course, John Brumby, who said, you don't need to know the details of this contract or that contract or whatever. I do, but you don't.
Yes, that's right.
You can't do that anymore.
No, and I think, unfortunately, politicians don't have a great reputation. So that notion, trust me, I know what's best,
doesn't work anymore.
Does not work with the public.
Slightly more, as I started to say before, slightly more disturbing to me has been the actions of companies like PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, on absolutely no apparent legal pressure or legal evidence of any kind of shutting down the flow of funds towards WikiLeaks. That disturbs me profoundly.
I think that is one of the most troubling and disturbing issues in this whole situation. I totally agree with you, Doug, that, you know, that they have that power. You know, not just on WikiLeaks, but on you and I. You know, if Visa wants to stop a website, well, they can, far more easily than probably, as we're finding, the government can.
And they seem to be doing it just because the government says, oh, well, we might be going to charge them with espionage, or that he might be involved in espionage.
Look, and it was...
Are there more secret cables here we don't know
about? Yeah.
they sent to MasterCard and Visa.
That's right, and no doubt they didn't. But there was an analogy recently. Amazon had a book on how to be a good pedophile. Now, I mean, it was an appalling book, and Amazon has this sort of self-publishing thing. No one had bought it except for the author, but it was an appalling book. Now, Amazon said, we're not here to decide freedom of speech. We're not here to decide what someone can and can't say. And they stood by that until, you know, mounting pressure, and they pulled the book. But the person had actually broken no law in America where Amazon was based, but under public pressure they pulled the book. And so these, you know, people like Visa, MasterCard, PayPal do have extraordinary powers these days.
And haven't we kind of encouraged them in that, particularly people like Amazon, by creating, you know, boycotts and demands that things be pulled down? I mean, there was that silly business with the Air New Zealand ad, for example, sort of a non-kiss on the cheek for a gay cabin attendant, and somebody complained and they pulled the whole thing.
Yeah. I was just looking at the most 10 most complained about ads this for 2010.
Any of yours in there?
Well, no, sadly. I was really hopeful that I had made it, but no. But most of them had been complained about because of sexual themes. Mm. It was interesting that only one had been upheld and they pulled the ad, but the power that these companies do have, and I mean PayPal, I regularly get, you know, erotic websites having PayPal freeze their cash.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, businesses like Sexpo, PayPal has frozen them out because they've said, oh, it's a bit adult.
Yes, and it's not really their place to make those decisions.
No, it's a legal business, and while it's a legal business, that's, you know, they should be providing a service. Certainly, I am aware of PayPal, Visa, American Express working very hard on online child porn sites.
Hmm.
And one of the best ways to stop those sites is to close the money source.
Yeah, which, of course, is the flip side of this, isn't
it? That's right. But there, illegal activity.
Yes.
And, you know, if Visa's providing merchant facilities for child pornography site, well, then they are aiding and abetting.
They're aiding and abetting, and it's very clear. But just sort of on the basis of a phone call from Barack Obama or whoever to say, stop sending money to WikiLeaks.
And really, if they're going to do that, they should have done it to the Sydney Morning Herald, The Australian, The New York Times, News.com, Fairfax. You know, every single one of them was providing that information.
Yeah, but I don't see very many chances of putting Rupert Murdoch in the job anytime soon.
Does he own PayPal?
either here or in the US. But you're quite right. They facilitated just as much as as anybody else.
They are all media agencies and are all making that information public. And if it is an offence to make that information public, well, then they're all committing that same offence. And WikiLeaks didn't steal the information. They were given it.
No.
No one has questioned WikiLeaks being having stolen it.
No, indeed. Okay, well, thanks for coming in today, Fiona.
Thank you, Doug.
It's good to air the various issues around this.
Yes, well, we're all watching it with interest, aren't we?
It's made the newspapers actually interesting again for a change.
Yes.
For a while.
Right.
Now we've got the Christmas season. Oh, well, you can't have everything. Fiona Patton, thanks very much for
your time, Doug,
today. And do have a good Christmas and a good New Year.
Yes, likewise. And to all the listeners as well.
See ya. Right, now before we leave this topic completely, I just wanted to say that everyone does seem to have conveniently forgotten the man who is alleged to have given Julian Assange all this material, Private First Class Bradley Manning. He's held in military custody and allegedly in solitary confinement since May. Manning will celebrate, if that's the right word, for a man who could be facing the death penalty if the US Army decides to bring espionage charges against him. He will be celebrating his 23rd birthday tomorrow. So our thoughts go out to Bradley Manning.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.